recording. We are at the Senior Center in Oxford, Connecticut. This is December 3rd, 2012, and we're interviewing Mary Kennedy and Pearl Mosek. Mary, you want to tell us how old you are and when you came to Oxford?
I came to Oxford in about 1974. Mm-hmm. When my husband got out of the Army and we built the house. My in-laws had land and they gave us the land just like all the neighbors did. They all had land and gave it to their sons when they came out of the Army, and that's when I came.
What was the year?
My daughter was going to first grade, and she was born in 19... I can't think of the year. I'm trying to get the year. I don't really remember.
Okay. But you were here when they opened the center school?
Yes, and my mother-in-law was the dietitian for many years,
okay.
And they got really home-cooked meals. Everything was cooked from scratch.
From scratch.
She did a wonderful job. She was also on that building committee.
I didn't know she was on the building committee.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, that's good to know. Pearl,
yes.
How about you? How old are you now?
I was born in Seymour, and I guess I came to Quaker Farms when I was about a year old. I think I don't remember. Mm-hmm. So pretty much lifelong.
Pretty much lifelong. Uh-huh. Now then, what's your best memory of Oxford? Each of you, one at a time. What's your best memory of Oxford, Pearl?
Let's see. We first came, my father ran the farm for Miss Palmer, and my mother was the cook, and that's where when we came in.
Uh-huh.
And then when she died, we went to New York, to Rye, New York, with her nephew. I don't know what else.
And then you came back.
And then we stayed there 4 years, and then we came back, yeah, and I went to school through the Oxford, the Quaker Farm School, and then Seymour High School.
Mm-hmm.
And I got married in 59, and I moved to Bethany. And then when my husband died, I came back and I lived with my son in Oxford. And that's where I am now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I came. I was born and raised in Derby. And when I first came to visit my husband's parents, I saw this lady in the adjoining yard working with a sickle, and I said, oh, she's going to get hurt. Why is she doing that? It was so new to see her working like that. He said, oh, she does that all the time. And that was my first memory. The outhouse was gone by then. But I liked the country. I liked.
Who was the lady?
Right in.
Who was the lady who was working with the sickle? Do you remember who it was?
Mary Politis.
Yes,
she was the assistant librarian. I can tell you how we did the move. I can tell you all about the old library if you want to know.
Yes, we do.
It was colder than this. And when we came in, Mildred Allen was the part-time librarian. I think the library was over 2 days a week. That's all. And they used to accommodate the school children. But it was so cold in the winter, she had to have a heater by the desk. And going into the bathroom was unbelievable. It was so cold in there. And then the summer was a reversal, you know. But I came and I was on the library board at the time. And they were going to add more help. So I put the application in, and Robert gave me the job, and I started, and they had the library open more than usual. We took turns. Mildred would be there the day, and I would take some night shifts. We had a good library board, and the library board, Rose Resitek, she bought all the books, and then we would have our meetings, and we would fix the book, date them, and so forth, and get them ready for the shelf in the little closet in back of the main desk, which was supposed to be the big room. But we did all that, and we increased the hours. And then it came time to think about a new library. And we went through, they thought maybe the the town garage, which were already in part of it, but they thought another part, you know. But then town hall was built, and the senior citizens wanted to volunteer, so we had a little war there. But the library won. We won the fight. And so when it came time to move the old library to the new, it was a complete community effort. It cost the town not one penny. We had people come in with the trucks, and we had Mary Politis in the old library and myself in the new one, and they would bring the trucks with the books. And Vanderlane, who was a caterer, catered and gave all the refreshments. And I was in the new library telling the girls where they put some of the books on the shelves. So it was a community effort. Everyone, the Friends of the Library and the junior women helped. We had girls in my part putting the books away as they came in, and Mary had help in the old one. And we did that. And to make things easier, before we moved, we asked people to take books home, as many as they wanted. And we took them alphabetically by their name, the person's name. And then when we were ready, we called them back, and we got them back. And the junior women, or the Friends of the Library, I don't know which, furnished the curtains of the library. Someone else gave us a book rack, one of the two groups. And we had, we were lucky with the flooring, because Mr. Stakem talked to the man who put the flooring in the town hall, and he gave us practically for nothing the flooring. And then we sent all the old furniture up to prison to be all refurnished. That came back beautiful. And then we had to have the shelves put up. So I told the gentleman how much I was allotted. So he was very kind. Believe me, he was kind, and we got all our shelves. So we just had everybody helping us. Everyone was glad to help us. And we took off, and we were happy there. And we hired Sandy Davis as the children's librarian. And we had several tries at getting a new librarian. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
I hope now it will. But if, as I said, it shows what a community can do. Mm-hmm. If they come together and do it. It was done with no money. It was fantastic. Everyone, you know, even the man who did the bookshelves, he took my offer, what I had, and Jessie Dunn gave the furniture from her place, and we had that refinished. And then we started the children's program, and everything went off well. That was it. So we're still waiting for a library. But I can't think. And if you have any questions, because Mary Politis was there,
mm-hmm.
and if you have any questions about anything that I can answer.
I think that's a pretty good history of that section of the library.
And here I am in my
library. Here you are, now in this new library here for the seniors.
I hope that you get to see the new library.
You deserve
it.
I don't like the idea where it's going to be. First thought I thought was the Oxford House, but apparently it can't be because of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then last week, it might be in back of the town hall. But then when I read in the paper the other day, it said it's going to be over on the other side of town. So I don't know.
The land that they were having the checking for ledge, etc., is across from the Great Oak School,
uh-huh.
near where the tennis courts are.
Yes. Yes, uh-huh. I guess I would like to have seen it in the historical district.
Yeah, and
as I said, the Oxford House would have been ideal, but you can't have a wet, something like that for books.
Yeah,
it would be damaged. Mm-hmm. So it's too bad.
Yeah, no, there really is
like
no available land
like
in the historic district.
I would like to see one.
Mm-hmm.
It's our time, and if they do a community thing like we did, that's it.
Yeah, I think we'll get it.
And Sandy is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's that we have many, many programs there, and there's junior women and so forth. Mm-hmm. It's fun. Mm-hmm. Fun working there. Mm-hmm. And one time we got an award for doing so much as a small library. that we're really proud of them. Mm-hmm. Our little tiny little library, the state gave us an award because we really did it with a small library.
Yeah.
But we had the Friends of the Library and the junior women helping us, you know, so it was good. So that's what I'm saying, a community effort.
Right. Now, when you moved here to Oxford, your daughter was in first grade.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did she go to center school?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did she start at center school? She must have started someplace else.
She started in Derby. In Derby.
But even when she moved here?
She started. Oh, she started.
The new center school was not there.
She started in second grade because she skipped a grade. She had kindergarten in Derby, I think, and they skipped her, and they put her into second grade.
But the new center school wasn't there. Did she go to the old center school?
No, she went to the old one first, then they moved into the center school. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Pearl, what about your children?
John Hotchkiss's daughter was in that class, and several, and Dick Ranker, you know, that's when she started. Mm-hmm. But it was down in where the veterans are now. That's where it started.
That was an SB Church school. In the Legion.
She went to the Legion.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And in those days, when a teacher was absent, they would take mothers who were interested and have them come in and teach, the ones who were on the various programs. I remember teaching one day. It was easy. They just select a paper of what they wanted done. We did it. It was fun.
Pearl, what do you remember about Oxford schools? You had children in school here?
Not here, no.
Not here.
I went to Bethany.
Yours
Bethany.
Went to Bethany. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. But you went to Oxford schools.
Yeah, I went to Oxford, Quaker Farms.
Quaker Farms. What time span are we talking about?
I came back, I was in fourth grade, and I finished.
You went to Quaker Farms through eighth grade?
Yeah.
Ah.
And
you walked?
Did
you walk to school?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we didn't have a bus until later. Mm-hmm.
Now, where were you living then?
On Berry Road.
On Berry Road.
Berry Road, yeah.
Can you tell me which house I was so that I would recognize it, Marilyn?
The house is all gone.
It's gone. But it was toward the...
It was across from the Worcester House.
The Worcester House, yes. Right across.
Okay. And they're both gone now.
Okay. And, your mother taught at the Oxford Center School, too. Because the Friends of the Library.
Oh, okay.
Not the Friends of the parent-teacher.
Parent-teacher.
We did everything. We did a lot of... we were very active in those days. And she was more active than I. She did a lot of this. But there we were teaching. With no degrees. It wasn't hard. You just read from the paper.
When you went to Seymour High School, how did you get there?
A bus. We walked up to where the firehouse is now,
uh-huh.
to the school.
Do you remember who your bus driver was?
The first one, I think it was Bob Moselle's bus, but then mm-hmm. he went to the service, so his wife did it, and then there was somebody substituted too, but I guess he didn't go to the service. I don't remember who it was.
Uh-huh.
But and then when he came back out, then he did it again.
He did it again, yes. No. The school board, when he went in the service, didn't want to give that job to his wife. And apparently, the people all.
Oh, really?
Objected and said, you know, she needed the job and it was only fair.
She was
his boss, right? Didn't they? They owned their own buses.
Yeah.
At
that
time. And then somebody would, but she did drive a lot, but then she didn't make it because I think she had the baby. There was a little,
mm-hmm.
little girl.
Suzanne.
Yeah. Another thing that happened, there was a group of us who were we started the first baseball field. My husband worked for the phone company and they donated the poles for the backdrop. And the ladies, we helped pick up the stones and make that field for the first Little League baseball. It was all done by handwork.
And where was that?
We didn't bring anyone in. Mm-hmm. It was done again with parents who
volunteers.
And that was the
that was in back of the center school.
The baseball field.
That was in back of the center school.
Yeah, huh? Yeah, we that was hard work, but we did. We raked and the stones, and it said the backdrop was beautiful with the telephone pole, and we had our first game there. And that's again what I'm emphasizing, community. That's what I'm emphasizing. What you can do with effort, community effort. If they all pulled together, you know, everything went very smoothly. It's been, you know, I love living in Oxford. I've been busy since the day I moved in.
Now, Pearl, going to the Quaker Farm School, how did they separate the teaching?
Eighth grade. We had tables, you know, fourth grade had, I mean, on the upper grades. Well, each grade had its own, you know. And I remember in the first grade they had the lower tables, you know, and the little chairs, but and they graduated. But then in the upper grade, the 5, 6, 7, and 8, they were just, you know, each group had its own table.
This.
And what did the teacher walk around from table to table to teach?
Well, I guess she'd give you your assignment. Yeah, she taught you or told you whatever first. Then she'd give you an assignment. You did yours, and then she'd go on to the next one. And of course, you finished yours, especially if you were in the lower part. You could hear what went on. So you were pretty much, you know, kind of knew what you were going to do in the next grade when you went next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had the Rick Street Schoolhouse. Mm-hmm. And believe me, the Resitech girls and several others went on to Seymour High School and were valedictorians. So I think the teaching was very good in those schools.
Yeah, it was.
Of course, the younger ones were listening in all the time.
Sure.
And they were getting a double education.
Right.
But that was, you know,
for many years. For many years, a valedictorian at Seymour was an Oxford student.
Yes.
There were some years where both the valedictorian and the salutatorian came from Oxford.
One of the teachers from the Rigg School used to board with my mother-in-law because they couldn't go back and forth for some reason, so they boarded with people.
Mm. Do you remember which teacher that was?
What?
Do you remember which teacher that was?
There were two of them. I can't remember. A long time ago.
Mm-hmm. A long time ago.
But mostly, as I said, that's what happened with the library, was a community effort to move that whole thing over. And we had a nice bathroom in the new library.
Yes. Warmer.
It was warm. Yeah. Oh, that was all. That was really something. Mm-hmm. But Vula could tell you about what happened before with her aunt, because she had and who was the name of the other one? I put her other aunt. She was a librarian first.
Yeah. DeHinden.
Yes.
DeHinden. Two sisters.
And Mildred
Ophelia
Allen.
M.
Yeah, she was there first, and then Mildred, her sister, took over after. Mm-hmm. So Vula could tell you a lot about where the library was before that. But I can tell you where we have. But we did it. We've been there a long time.
You have. You've done a good job with that.
We had a good time. We had good people working with us, you know. And the selectmen were very good, and I said, Bob got me the job, really. Yeah.
So man at that time.
Yeah.
Right?
Long ago, that's right.
And here I am. Surrounded by books again,
right?
Which I love.
Pearl, when you were growing up here, who did you have for neighbors? What families were in Quaker Farms at the time? What they did
the
for
Kinneys.
A living?
I was good friends with Catherine Kinney. She married Fagan. And then there were the Tetlacks.
And the Tetlacks.
Yeah. So we did. We walked to school together. Yeah, with me. But mostly, yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
Did the
they were far, the houses were far apart.
Yes,
the Kinneys were close by, so that they were about the closest.
Now, were you friendly with the other girls besides Catherine, or Catherine was more your age?
She was more my age, and Mary and I was friend. The others were all pretty much married already. So it was when I got there, it was only Catherine and Mary.
What did you do for recreation and fun when you were a kid?
Just, we'd walk. We'd just visit because we didn't have television.
I know.
And for a while there, we didn't even have electricity because it wasn't through yet. So, yeah.
Did you get a telephone before you got electricity?
No. No. We didn't get that until really...
Well, even in Derby...
I was out of school already by then.
Even in Derby, when I was young, we had gas for a long time before the electricity was put in.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm.
So it was city in Derby. Area.
Yeah. Right. Right, yeah, that is...
And how did you... Did you go to bed early and get up early?
That's about it. Yeah, because... What did you do? You couldn't read too much books with those lights. They weren't that great. We tried, and you did homework and things, but after a while, you couldn't read with those. So, when I think of it now, I says, gosh, I wouldn't be able to see, I don't think.
Well, it sounds like the blizzard we had last year. I'm in bed with one of these little lights on my book, with no electricity, wearing leg warmers, hot water bottles, because I stayed in my house. And I was back in those days.
Yeah.
I'm sure we were a lot of people that had the same
thing. Same thing, yeah.
It was funny.
Mm-hmm. So they were all gas lights. Were yours
no,
also?
No, just oil.
You had oil lamps. You didn't have candles much. Oil lamps.
We didn't have much candles. No, we didn't use candles. Mm-hmm. It was the oil lamps, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you had to be careful when you walked with them. So you didn't trip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, did your grandmother come from Academy Hill in Derby?
Yes, my grandma Tiffany.
I lived there. Mm-hmm. My house was bordered on Academy Hill. Uh-huh. I knew Mrs. Tiffany. She was a wonderful woman. Spent a lot of time talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I did.
So you read a lot when you were younger.
Yeah, I did.
What kind of things did you read? School books or books for
pleasure?
Whatever
I could find, yeah. We had, I think there were old books that my father had and old books that my mother probably had. And Sunday, that was you read. And really old, from the revolution, about that. What you call it? History books, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Geography.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was at one time a branch library in Quaker Farms.
I don't remember any.
No, I didn't.
Betty DiGennaro found the circulation book in her attic. And I found in an old newspaper clipping, actually it was in some old minutes, a reference that the I think they called it a station or substation or something, in Quaker Farms would be open another year. But I have never found anybody who has gone to the Quaker Farms.
I don't remember anything.
Sub-library. I mean, it was probably in somebody's house, and they simply took over a bunch of books once a month or so and bought them back.
I know in school we had there was a cupboard there with shelves that we had some books on, but I don't remember anybody coming in to borrow them. It's just that we'd read them ourselves.
Uh-huh.
We'd put them back.
What was winter like when you were in school?
It was cold.
It was cold.
It was cold. The houses weren't insulated like they are today. And it was just plain cold.
Mm-hmm. I still have my Cape Cod, my Cape Cod house on my property.
Yeah.
Dark. I have Bill painted. I have it painted dark gray with a red door, just like a Cape Cod.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like my little house. I really do. It's ideal for me.
It is.
I don't go up or downstairs since I fell. And I found four rooms on one floor. Everything is touchable.
Mm-hmm.
But I like my little house, my little Cape Cod. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I really wouldn't. But that's been there. That's been there since 1972, probably. 68. Now, when did we come? Jerry was in... I think it's 68 years I've lived in that house. 38 alone. My husband